Let me pray and then we'll get going. Dear God, thank you for this evening, the opportunity to come together, to come into a warm place, a dry place, to study your word, the prayer that you gave to us, and that we humbly pray to you, knowing that you are there to listen to us and the assurance we have of that. Just as I open the word, your truth, that the words that I share, that they would be your truth. Be with us during this time to open our hearts, open our ears. In your son's name we pray. Amen. It's always great to deal with a scripture that there's a lot that that you go in knowing about, but then also to hear a lot of different people's perspectives on their understanding of what the scripture has to say. And that's the case with the Lord's Prayer. So many people have written on it in different understandings, interpretations. But at the end of it, I think all a definite conclusion of just what a true gift we have of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. To begin with, I want to always start with vocabulary to kind of begin a similar foundation for everyone to agree to or kind of know where I'm coming from as we go forward. And the first is debt. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's a word that we usually don't use very often in everyday modern English. If we use the word debt, it's D-E-B-I-T, which is more of what you would have at the bank or that you owe someone more of a financial debt, but it's a D-E-B-T, which it goes to a more of a rabbinic thought that's a sin that creates a deposit of debt before God, and it creates a separation, or sometimes I like using the idea of separation like a gap in between yourself and God, but some people also use the metaphor of a wall being erected by those debts. And there's some thought, and it was a rabbinic thought, that you could cancel out your debt by doing good. So maybe you go and get in a fight and lie to someone, and then you turn around and go help your neighbor carry their trash out, or I don't know what the equivalent of that is, but that you could kind of this balance of scales that that you do bad things, but you do enough good things to weigh them in your favor eventually. The other thing that we get into is on Sunday morning, there's that prayer right after the first hymn that for the past few weeks I've been the one leading it many times. We all say together, what's the name of that prayer? Prayer of forgiveness? What else is it called sometimes? Prayer of confession. I am brought up at one of our pastor meetings. I said, why is it the prayer of forgiveness and not the prayer of confession? And I was basically told there's a long story to that, and that's not a battle we're willing to fight right now. And you're a low man on the totem pole, and just be glad that we're having a nice prayer there. And,
I'm sure that's what they
exactly. But, you know, but I realized that, okay, you know, there is some agreement that it should be the prayer of confession, but there's some people that feel strongly it should be the prayer of forgiveness. But so there's a difference of, you know, what is confession and what's forgiveness? And the definition I'm going to use for forgiveness of sins is God's action in pardoning or remitting sinful offenses, which includes canceling the penalties that such acts would have merited. Forgiveness of sin comes through Jesus Christ and is to be a mark of the Christian's life as well. Confession of sin is an admission or acknowledgement of motives or behavior that is sinful either against God or against others. I heard it said somewhere that in Scripture that we're really not called to ask for forgiveness, although in the Lord's Prayer I have a hard time with that, but we're really not called to ask for forgiveness because we are forgiven already because of, as believers in Jesus Christ and those who have accepted the grace of God, that we are forgiven because of that. But what we're truly called to do is confess, is to confess, to acknowledge before God that yes, what we have done, we see as mistakes that we've made. And the thing about you know, confession is that there's never anything you're going to surprise God about. You're never going to go to God in prayer and say, you know, I did this, and you go, oh my goodness, I had no idea, you know, because he knows what's going on with us. But it's a matter of us coming to him saying, yes, I've done these things. I recognize that that's not your will. That's not the best you have for me and my life, and I want to change and make a new path, make a new direction. So, although the prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, I think that confession also needs to be a part of our act of coming to the Lord. Guilt is another part of confession, forgiveness. that I think is important to understand here. And from a biblical understanding, guilt is the condition in which one is estranged from God because of sin, which ruptures the divine-human relationship. So that's that separation that I said, you know, that really separates us from God. And then guilt also leads to shame, to a sense of shame for what we've done, that I think is kind of the ongoing thing. Another image, or another word that we hear, and it's always interesting when you gather together with believers who are from other denominations, and you're doing the Lord's Prayer, and as leaders of a debtor congregation of, do you need to pause and leave time for those who want to trespass? And this is the sign, the no trespassing sign, that I think would be appropriate sometimes to hang from the pulpit, but I don't know if that's really necessary. But at Barbara Garrity's memorial service on Friday, as we did the Lord's Prayer, and there were a lot of people from other churches, you know, Pastor Greg was very good at saying, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer as it's printed in our bulletins, and so the which is helpful, I know, because I've been at other churches, and I'm thinking, okay, how are we saying the Lord's Prayer today? But trespasses is more of an interpretation. Luke has a version of the Lord's Prayer that his word that is used there is more of trespasses, which is a sin that he used. And it's the focus in trespass is the acts of commission, which is something that we do against people, of a trespass. Or a debt, also, it has the idea of commission, something that we do, but also in Matthew with debt and debtor, it has the act of omission, where we don't do things. You always hear people who say, oh, you know, I could keep from sinning by locking myself in a room. I won't lie to anyone. I won't lust after anyone, you know, and all these things that they won't do against people. But then you realize you're not doing the things of meeting your neighbor's need. You're not sharing the gospel. So the idea of debts and debtors takes it to not only of what we do to others, but what we fail not to do as part of our calling as Christians. So I think that's that's one of the number one questions. What's the difference between being a debtor or a trespasser? And so they're both similar, come from the same word or from the same idea. And some other words used in here are failure, debts, sins, and trespass that are all very similar. But one of the words that gets used that Dale Bruner, who I did a lot of reading from, says that some people will say, just call it mistakes. But mistakes is really too light. We all make mistakes. You know, when Jesus was a carpenter, if he was using a hammer, did he, you know, ever, you know, hit his thumb with a hammer? I imagine he did. You know, that's part of being human, is making mistakes, of tripping and falling and things like that. But the sins that we're talking about here are really those acts against people. And as we would understand through the Old Testament, what the law teaches. Some of the people that I read on the Lord's Prayer, there's the think that, and people are bold when they put this actually in print. I know a lot of us have thought, God, you don't have it right. But to actually put it in print is pretty bold. But some people have tried to say that that the Lord's Prayer is out of order, that we should have confession, forgiveness, coming before we ask for our needs. And as we heard Pastor David last week share about, give us this day our daily bread, comes right before our confession of our sins. That people put out there that before we truly come to God in prayer in our relationship, we need to cleanse ourselves from those areas, from those debts, those areas that separate us from God. And that so before we actually come and share our needs, we need to cleanse our heart and soul. And I think that's a great idea, but it's not exactly what Christ taught. One of the things that we read is that when Jesus would teach his disciples, he would tell them to first go and be reconciled with an aggrieved brother or sister, and then come to the altar. So back when they were still practicing Jews, if they had a problem with someone, he would say, first go make your peace with that person, and then go to the temple to make your sacrifice. And so a similar type thing here, where he is telling us, you know, it's okay to deal with others, you know, your grievances before you come to me. And in a similar way, when he would heal people, of why does it say, give us our daily bread before forgiving our debts? as we read throughout the healings of Jesus. He goes and heals people from, you know, blindness, from paralysis and other things. And then they have their eyes open to the truth of him. It's not a where he sees a blind or deaf person and communicates to him, you know, do you love me? Do you want to accept me as Lord and Savior? And they say, yes, Lord, I accept you. Then he heals them. No, he first meets their need. Same thing when he fed the multitudes of people. He fed them first, and then he shared the gospel with us. And the same thing in the order of this prayer, that I don't think that God or Jesus or the writers of the gospel made any kind of mistake, but it was very intentional that he gives us and grants us our physical need first, so that then he's able to go about the process of forgiving our debts, our sins against others. Then the other part that was brought up in this is some of the things I read is there a condition to God's forgiveness? When it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us, God, between you and me, as I also forgive between myself and other people, those I encounter. And it's almost a condition to forgiveness, that God won't forgive you until you've forgiven other people. And I think that all of us, if we were to try to go home or to spend some time and write down the sins we've committed over the past week, you know, I'm sure we could think of some, but we guarantee would miss some of them. And we, you know, even if you look back over, you know, a year of your life of people that maybe you've missed out on that opportunity to go and forget and seek forgiveness of that person. So I the more I read and the more that I understand that it's not a condition, but it's more of the desire for God for that relationship to be in the best state it can be, is that when we have that forgiveness between other people. A personal thing that happened to me several years ago, when I'll make what could be a long story, a short story, not a real short story, but I was serving at a church in El Paso, Texas, where we're going to be going in a couple weeks on our mission trip. And I was a youth director at a church at First Presbyterian, and the senior pastor was a good man, good preacher, loved the Lord. But anyone who's been involved with church, inner workings of church, knows that there's some politicking that goes on with the church. And this pastor that I worked with was a great man, but couldn't politic his way out of, you know, any kind of situation. And there were some very divided groups within this church, and he had a hard time with the leadership of some of those different groups. And some of the groups didn't like what I was doing with the youth kids, and some of the fact I wore jeans to work, the fact that I would go, I wasn't at work at 8 o'clock every morning because I'd been at the high school until 9 o'clock the night before, and some of those things that they just didn't get the way that youth ministry happened. Well, instead of the senior pastor, you know, kind of standing up for me and saying, no, you know, you need to understand that, you know, he's wearing jeans because, you know, at lunch he's at high school with the kids, you know, and the people he interacts with. He kind of said, yeah, you're right. He should be doing these different things, and then didn't come and say, hey, you need to do things differently. He just agreed with them and was quiet about them because he was really torn between the different groups in the church. And I realized after about a little bit over a year that wasn't the place for me to serve long term, and began to find another church and went to a great church after that. But I left that church, and I didn't realize it, but I had some, you know, bitterness against that pastor. And I'd probably been gone from that church for about 6 months, and I was calling back to the church. I forget what the reason was, but I was talking to the church secretary, and she said, oh, senior pastor, you heard he's leaving and going to another church. I said, yeah, I heard that, you know, through some friends. I said, well, do you want to talk to him? And I kind of had the thought of, sure, why not? You know, there's no harm here. And he gets on the phone, and he, you know, kind of tells me what he's doing. He says, you know, I realize that I didn't do a very good job of protecting you here and making your life very easy, and I was in over my head on a lot of things, and, you know, I'm really sorry for the way that I treated you. I didn't stand up for you. And I kind of put it down like, oh, you know, that's all right. I understand. You know, there's some difficult situations and things like that. And he sought my, you know, forgiveness, and I gave it to him. I didn't think much of it, and I hung up the phone, and, you know, that just stuck with me of how much, you know, as I was going on in the past 6 months, I don't think I'd really thought about that much, but how freeing it was for me to have him to offer that forgiveness to me. I don't think it's anything I would have ever sought from him, but knowing that even though it was, you know, some 6 months later, that it was truly genuine, truly something that he had reflected on, and I think it really helped me with any kind of bitterness or barriers that I might have had in doing ministry in future situations, future churches. So I can see where that forgiveness for many of us, as we look at different parts of life, can see where that can free us. And I don't think it's a condition of our salvation or a condition of God loving us anymore because he can't, or God forgiving us anymore because he can't, but of truly for us and who we are, that when we are able to offer the same kind of forgiveness to our brothers and sisters, those people that maybe we've done something wrong to, those people that we've hurt, maybe unintentionally. Because for the pastor, I'm sure that he didn't intentionally do this, but he realized later on. And some of you might be aware of and know with the 12 step, that's step 9 of making amends with those that you've wronged. And it's a important part of the process, and not just for, as I understand, when you go through the 12 steps, you don't do it on your own. You have a coach or a sponsor, thank you, who helps you out. And it's to make sure that you're not just blowing through your list of things so that you can get them done, but to truly do it and to truly understand the healing that's able to take part in having forgiveness. One of the things that Bruner said, where is it? I've got a... Okay, people on the internet, I'm looking for something. I haven't just stopped. Okay, to ask for forgiveness from God is a great benefit, and then to deny the same to others is to mock God. That's a great thing to deny others the same benefit that we take from God that we are so grateful to have is truly a way of mocking God. And then the visual that is used that I liked also is that as we go to God and we're holding on to those areas that we need forgiveness, we should be going to God with open hands saying, here, God, take this. Take these burdens, take these areas that are dark, that are difficult in my life. But if we have areas that we need to have forgiveness, we go with clenched fists where we need to have open hands allowing for that. Understanding what our sin is, understanding what our sin is about can be a difficult thing. And someone said to me, and I've done it, and it's a wonderful thing, but sometimes as you pray, be careful what you ask for. And someone said, they challenged us one time to ask God to help you see your sin, to see your sin better. And sometimes, as we go to time of confession, we haven't killed anyone today. We haven't, we can go through some of the things of the Ten Commandments and think we're doing pretty good. But then... to have God to help you to open your eyes to those neighbors around, those people in need that are around you, to be able to go on about that. One of the other commentaries I read by a man named Greer says, he cannot and will not pardon us, the impotent, including those who nurse grievances against others. It is an impossibility while the condition of forgiveness, repentance, is not met. So we must truly repent, truly say, we want to change our ways. We want to confess what we've done wrong and then work to make a difference in our lives. I think that's the main part of what I got out of this, and I hope that helps to understand this a little bit more as we pray the prayer.